It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to KETR. We do this every week, and you know this is the fifth year. We're going into the fifth season here on KETR, all over Northeast Texas, that we get to talk about the outdoors. I kid a lot, you know, to mention it. This is not Paul Harvey stuff. It's really not, but gosh, we've been doing it a long time, and we talk about everything from, you know, bugling in elk in the fall to catching catfish at Lake Tawakoni or anything in between. Today, our guest we're going to learn about how to cure and smoke meats. Now, Ed Richer is a good friend of mine, and he is, I don't want to embarrass him. He might not even need to hear this, but let me tell you, folks, he knows how to do a lot of things, curing meats. I'm an amateur outdoor cook. You know, you hear me talking about curing hog hams and all this, but Ed does it a lot. He's really, really good. He's got a lot of knowledge. Ed, thank you, buddy, for being here.
Well, thank you, Luke. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. You know, I think what really fascinates me is curing meat used to really trick me up. I mean, I thought, wow, I'll never learn this. My dad used to sugar cure hams in Red River County when I was growing up as a kid. And, you know, I wished I'd have watched him more, but I was well into my 30s before I started studying and learning a little bit about how to do it. But just say, for instance, something that folks that Ed introduced me to, he cured and smoked some goose breast. And I'll be honest with you, I had got to the point that I used to marinate goose and duck breast in Coca-Cola and soy sauce and then cook it on a high temperature, wrap it with bacon, jalapenos, and I like it that way. I still do. But Ed gave me some of the cured goose breast and smoked, and I'm going to tell you, that is as good a meat as I've ever eaten. And it's snow geese. Now, snow geese are not known to be the best of eating goose. You know, speckled belly or Canada, I think, is much better. Ed, the way you fix them, I don't think it makes any difference whether it's a snow or a Ross or a goose, you know, whatever, does it, really?
Yes, Luke, that's true. And you know, putting them in a brine in the way that we're preparing these geese, the brine is the separation between it. You're not really going to be able to tell the difference other than the size or the thickness of a breast patty and the difference of the birds. And fortunately, sometimes we get into some of the snow geese that are of quality size also.
Well, Ed, a lot of it with goose, waterfowl, let's say, you know, is getting the blood out, isn't it?
Yes, sir, that's true. And it stands that way with, you know, most all game meats. It's the care from the field to home that's most important, and that blood is really what's saturating that meat. And as long as that blood stays in there, it tends to give that meat sometimes a kind of a, to use the term as a pun, a foul taste.
Yes, sir. Right. That's where people that say they don't like duck or they don't like goose because it tastes like liver or whatever. That's what gives it the taste. Now, there's going to be a lot of folks listening to us that have probably a bunch of ducks from the past season in their freezer, maybe geese also, duck or goose breast. Tell us about how you keep it in ice for and how long. That's real important, I know.
Well, look, you know, I've heard a lot of things about people wanting to add salt and this and that other things. Just keep it simple, stupid. Kiss it. It's real simple. If you have an ice chest, it's clean, sanitize it up good. Take your breasts after they've been really washed out good. Put them in an ice chest, or you can use individual Ziploc bags if you're just using a refrigerator, depending on where you live. I mean, if it's cool enough outside, you can leave an ice chest sitting out on your back porch. It stays within, you know, temperatures that are allowable.
Right.
So you just put them in there, put some water, just regular tap water, put an 8-pound bag of ice on, say on a dozen or two dozen goose breasts, and just let them soak. Let them sit there for 2 or 3 days, then drain that water off, rinse them out good, add some more water, add a little bit more ice, and just keep them in that situation for about 7 to 10 days. It's not hurting the meat. It's not doing anything. And that meat is actually sitting there, and it's actually naturally tenderizing itself in the natural process that the bacteria is working on breaking down the muscle of the meat itself. So you're getting natural tenderizing out of the same process while you're removing the blood from it at the same time.
Just the same principle in a way, I guess, Ed, is, you know, when you buy beef at the store, that's not, that beef wasn't just butchered and put right, it was aged. So it's kind of the same process, right?
Well, some is and some not. I mean, in today's fashion, like you said earlier, you know, that you learn from your father or your grandfather and a lot of folks out there that, you know a lot about curing and smoking meats. It's unfortunate that our generation now has kind of missed out on one of those special things. And grocery stores have increased because of the processes that they do so much in volume that they've added gassing and other issues, you know, that just, it just doesn't change. I mean, it changes everything up to where it doesn't make it like it used to be when, or in the same fashion that you would be doing it at home yourself.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense, Ed. Okay, let's say we've got our goose. Let's just concentrate on goose breasts, you know. We've got, we killed 10 snow geese, and we put them in the ice and water and kept them cold for 7 days, just for instance. What next? Now, it's time to put some cure on them, right?
Well, and then we want to check them again. We want to go through them really well because we're going to be smoking these patties whole. We want to really make a good check that we're getting all the feathers and all the shot and everything else out of them, because you sure don't want them lying down on a nice piece of smoked goose breast and bite into a piece of shot and have to go to the dentist the next day for sure.
Exactly.
So we want to take good care to make sure that we've got them 100% clean. Never going to mix up some kind of a brine or have a brine already mixed up, you know, and there's several options you can do on that.
Okay. Now, I know that it's important. There's a couple of compounds, I guess, sodium nitrate and sodium nitrite. But now, say, for instance, what would you recommend on the brine? Just say something that you found to work good.
Well, we use something that we've kind of concocted ourselves over the years through trial and error. But there's so many companies out there that sell pre-packaged brines, and they work really well. A lot of people are kind of leery of using them, I guess, in the first attempt, and it's all a trial and error thing. It's, you know, if you're taking good care and you're following instructions, chances are you're going to come out 100% on the first run. But mostly the nitrate is what you want to use when you're curing meat to cold smoke, because when you're bringing up the temperature of the meat to 152 degrees, that sets the final cure, and that meat is ready to eat cold from that point on. It's cured and it's smoked and it's cooked and it's finished once you reach that internal temperature. And that's what that cure helps you to do, that cooking at such a low temperature.
Okay, yep, that makes sense. So it's not a bad idea if you're just getting started to go ahead and get a, there's companies like Butcher Packer Supply, you know, there's places that you can order it. It's, you know, it may be maple cure mixed and ready. It'll tell you how much to put of that cure, of that granular, into a quart of water or half a gallon, whatever. So just that part takes some of the you know, for the new person that's just doing this for the first time, that would take some of the questions out of it. Then they could experiment and perfect stuff like you've done, your own special cure. But do you think that would be a good way to start, you know, for your first time?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Is that, you know, so many companies, like you mentioned, they've got multiple variations with different flavors of types of cure, from a maple to a honey to a salt to, you know, different things.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Just try them out, you know, check flavors, see what you like, each one, and it's all kind of a trial and error process to find what's going to be your favorite about what you want to use. But like I say, as long as you follow the instructions, you shouldn't have any issues, because those cures are mixed and put together with the proper curing salts and things that are in them to make the brines to follow through with this whole process, to make sure that in the end you end up with a good final product.
You bet. Folks, I want to make sure that we connect you with with Ed here, and Facebook is the way to do it. And we'll mention this maybe again, but you can go to Facebook, folks, and you can like Ed's Haus, H-A-U-S, Ed's H-A-U-S. And Ed, you post a lot of information and what's going, you know, what you're up to. And it's really an interesting, I went there first time here about a week or so ago, but you know, it's a good way to connect. And if people are interested in curing meats, and we're not talking about just goose, we kind of concentrated on goose today, folks, but it also cures, you know, pork loins from wild hogs, you know, anything that you can imagine. And he makes sausages the old German way, which Ed is of German heritage, aren't you, Ed?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thus the name Ed's Haus, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Would the Facebook be a good way for people that wanted to learn more about curing meats? And that'd be a good start, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, we just kind of started our page up last year in 2015. And it's a good way. Social media has gotten so popular here as of late that, you know, people are really reaching out a lot. And there's so many different people out there that do so many things, and there's so much information, you know, that exists out there on social media today. So yes, we try to post up a few things and a few pictures and let people know what we got going on and when we got things going on and, you know, what's happening, and, you know, put some pictures up of sausages and bacons and different things coming up, you know, that we've got going on.
So if people went to Ed's Haus, H-A-U-S, on Facebook, you know, if they had a question or whatever, they could contact you through. That would be a good way to for you to help people that had questions, right?
Yes, sir. That would be a good way.
Well, I tell you what, Ed, this, you know, what we have only scratched the surface of stuff that you do, and you know, curing, we, you know, kind of mentioned or I went into a little detail on curing the waterfowl. It's something that most people never even think about. Most people that hunt ducks and geese, I'm going to say way too many, leave them in the freezer thinking they're going to do something with them. They try them, they taste like liver, and that's it. But folks, if you've got some ducks or geese in your freezer, do consider this curing and smoking. If you need, this is probably not going to be enough information, really. You're going to have all kind of questions. I know I did years back when I started curing stuff myself. But you can always go Facebook, Ed's H-A-U-S, and really stay tuned in. Ed, thank you, buddy, for being with us. Man, I want to get you back, you know, and there's so many other things that I think that you know how to do, that processing meat and game and all, that's very, very interesting. So could we get you back again and talk some more about it?
Yes, sir. Let me touch on one more thing. Since you mentioned, you know, a lot of folks, waterfowl season, as far as most ducks go, or it's out of season now. We've still got conservation season coming up on geese, or existing right now. And even if you have birds that you have put in the freezer, you can still start out back at the same method, thaw those breasts out and put them in the water and soak them, and start your process from now from frozen meat. You're still good with that.
Excellent.
It's not like your meat's ruined, unless it is, you know, inspect your meat well. If it's got extreme freezer burn on it, then yes, sir, it probably is ruined. But if it still looks like it's a good piece of meat, then that meat should be fine even after it's been frozen to go ahead and start the process.
Well, good words of wisdom, Ed. We really appreciate it. We'll get you back soon. How about it?
Thank you, Luke. It was nice to talk to you.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thanks very much for tuning in today. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Hunter's Supply, Snap-Lock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Sun Optics USA, Hogman Outdoors, makers of the Game Alert, Night Sight, and Darton Archery. Make sure and tune in next week. Let's have some more fun talking about the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.